Women, you are the queens of our nation, the mother of our home, the pride of our children, a light always left on. You are refined in your ways, a woman of substance, substantially fazed by her everyday conscience. A conscience to live in a way that uplifts not just her home, but the home of her brethren. Styled as a graceful woman on her throne, empowering lives to be filled with pride, hope, love, beauty, nourishment, soul, faith. Bring your ears closer now and your mind will explode and be inspired by the words of Cover Mode.
Self-confidence is the most attractive quality a person can have. How can anyone see how great you are if you can't see it for yourself? I'm Rashan Isaacs and this is Cover Mode. Assalamu alaikum. Shanaz Moose is a registered psychological counselor and also a mother of three. Shanaz saw a great need for offering emotional support to adults, children, couples and families in her community, specializing in counseling and workshops for adults and children that focus on building emotional intelligence or EQ. I'd like to welcome to Cover Mode Shanaz Moose. Assalamu alaikum, Shanaz.
Wa alaikum assalam, Rishan. Thanks for having me. And sure, it's been a while since I've been on radio. So.
Oh, well, I'm glad to to be the first to invite you in the year 2017.
No, definitely. I think, you can see how comfortable I am sitting behind the mic.
Yes.
Any chance to talk, Rishan, I'll take it.
Now, I love people who can talk, especially on the subject that we're about to chat about. And here on Cover Mode, we discuss and share valuable tips on fashion, beauty, and lifestyle. And today, we are going to cover how important the relationship with ourself is. And it really boils down to self-esteem. Is that so? Is that right, Shanaz?
Yeah, definitely. I see you started off with the definition of confidence, self-confidence. Yes. And self-confidence, people often think is the same as self-esteem, yes. But it's only one aspect.
Yeah.
It's actually an aspect of self-esteem. Self-esteem is a little bit more intricate. And I think with all the people you come across, it's quite clear. You can see who are the overly confident people and who are the people with generally healthy self-esteem. So if I'm going to be judging you now, I'd have to say definitely a good dose of healthy self-esteem, you know, to be able to do what you do, appear in media and use yourself as a style icon. You'd have to have a good dose of healthy self-esteem, and your whole life successes and achievements are tied in not to that, but to the view of yourself.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Liking yourself. Now, there's the catch. I mean, in the counseling and the work that I do, that's the problem. A lot of people don't like who they are.
Oh.
They don't know who they are. I remember asking a mom once, when was the last time you were happy? And she spent almost the whole session in silence. So I said, okay, let's do that for homework. Come back next week and tell me. And she came back and she said, I don't know.
Wow.
And I was struck with this profound sadness and loss for her for not knowing. And often people think happiness and joy is tied to things.
Mm-hmm.
When I achieve, when I'm thinner,
yeah. You
know, when I'm this, when I'm that. And it isn't about achievements and accolades and milestones. It's about an inner sense of being,
mm-hmm.
which you can have as a child. And I think when most of us were growing up, there was a definition of what was expected of us in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience, compliance, quietness. None of those things apply to me.
Oh, my
as a
goodness.
Child. I was never that. So I was then labeled a bit of a troubled child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude, difficult because I was outspoken.
Oh, gosh, that probably put you down for ADD or
yes,
something.
Yes, I would have been medicated. I didn't know when to keep my tongue.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, reprimanded a lot. But I recently wrote a blog saying that I realize now I was always authentic, not rude. So I grew up with the label of being rude, but I was actually authentic. So now I'm surrounded by authentic
children
in my house.
It's all about those labels, really.
Yep.
It's what
the
we
labels.
Label as. Whether
yeah.
it's positive or negative,
yeah.
it's going to affect us either way.
Either way.
But, you know, a lot of what you counsel on and the workshops that you offer is based around EQ.
Yeah.
Okay, now what is EQ?
Okay, most people know about intellectual intelligence. You know how smart you are, and there are tests to take that.
And a lot of us have actually been, you know, the sort of premises of everything that we are about is always based on this IQ.
We think that that's the measure of success, but recent studies have proven that intellectual intelligence is not the key to success. Emotional intelligence is. So when we talk about emotional intelligence, we're talking about just being in touch with emotion, knowing and how to identify how you feel. Having the sensitivity to know how other people are feeling, and then having empathy. And I think that's where we've gone wrong as a community. We don't do much emotional stuff. It's hard work. And then just having the ability, you know, to know when to say, obviously, you know, somebody is heading headlong into a disaster.
Right.
But is this my place to say something? That's also part of emotional intelligence. Even with our kids, the mistakes they make are theirs sometimes, and lessons to learn. So often we want to protect and shelter you, and we are saying this in your best interest, but it's not a lesson that can be learned like that.
Mm-hmm.
So self-esteem is shaped by moments and moments, you know, interactions with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in childhood, and our parents are the key shapers, you know, the molders of how we view ourselves. And as we go out into the world, with school, there's your peers. So you, as you're moving along, your sphere increases of people who can impact your. But I still think parents play the most pivotal role in self-esteem. And critical parents, and I see that a lot in the adults who come in, not knowing how to connect with their kids. They didn't have this accepting parent model.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a critical parent. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And perfectionism is quite a high problem in especially in the Muslim community, I think. Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know that labarang table, Roshan?
Oh gosh.
You know that whole standard,
yes,
that model.
Yes.
In the last 5 years, I've untied myself from all of those expectancies.
And it's the repetition of it.
And you don't get a star. I don't get a gold star from my husband or my in-laws or anyone for this immaculate table. And I'm miserable and I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realize it doesn't serve. Do just enough to make it special. Do just enough so that I have energy to enjoy the day, and want to put on my nice outfit that I bought.
Yes, because you end up in
your
kitchen robes for the rest of the day while people are coming in and greeting you.
Yes.
But why is it so important to develop one's EQ?
It's important because this is how you relate to the world. If I am clueless about how I feel, I cannot pick up on how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So their interpersonal relationships will be a disaster.
Of course.
Knowing how the other person feels will tell you, should I be confrontational in this conversation? Should I step back? Should I? All these skills which don't come natural. And the reason why I chose to focus on emotional intelligence, because I saw it was lacking in our community. And the way schools operate, even the best of schools and the private schools, they value intellectual intelligence.
Yes.
It's like, and sporting ability second. So it's academic success, sporting success. But what are the people?
Mm-hmm.
What are the people's success? What about growing the child to be a holistic being?
Yeah, mind you, I kind of enjoyed that about the school I went to. I was fortunate enough to go to a school that offered things outside your academic, you know, requirements as well. And I sort of excelled so much more in the social activities, which was interacting with old age homes, with mentally disabled kids, and basically also being sent out there and preparing yourself for the real world and emotionally connecting to others. And I mean, those were for those who are in school and have been in school and know about those, you know, interact organizations and the Teenagers Against Drug Abuse. It was those causes that, you know, sort of helped you connect to people in a different way, and not to your books. And and as important as that is to get you to, you know, pass your matric in university, it's your emotional intelligence that's going to help you persevere and retain that passion that you have for where you want to go.
Definitely. And I mean, you're lucky, but I mean, if you look at the majority of kids don't have somewhere in grade 10 or 11 that pick up some kind of social responsibility thing, but only because it must look good on their varsity application. But we're talking about an inherent belief in making a difference in the world. We're talking about that. One of the things I'm always on about is social responsibility, and that where does my child learn that picking up this piece of dirt is going to make a difference to the planet. It's not my dirt, but I'm walking past it, and two steps ahead of me is a bin. I pick up a bottle, and I look for recycling immediately. And my kids are always on about that. And my mom, it's not your job. You're not here to clean up the world. And I'm like, every person adopts a view.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has that same view. It will increase and multiply and multiply. And that's the whole aim of being in a state of awareness and consciousness and mindfulness, that it starts with me. And yes, I'm forcing my kids also to make it stop with them, but that's what I'm responsible for.
Sure.
You know, and the reason why I do the kids' workshops is that I try to reach as many kids as I can. And this year I've decided to do the adult self-esteem because I realized that when children go home with all these new skills, they may not have the backup that they need in their moms and dads to carry and follow through with what I've taught them. Mm-hmm. So begin with balancing, you know, helping parents
right.
and helping kids.
If you'd like to interact or communicate with us here in studio, the number is 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp us on 072-238-0712. That number again, 072-238-0712. We look forward to hearing from you or seeing your comments. Shanaz, besides the counseling, like you said, you offer a number of short courses like Building My EQ, the 5 Love Languages, and I had the honor of getting a sneak preview of that as well at a wellness workshop. Then there's also Anger Management for Adults. And to see all of those courses that Shanaz offers, go to happyconfidentme.co.za. That's happyconfidentme.co.za. And then the subject we're talking about today is self-esteem development for adults. Shanaz, why do some people suffer from a low self-esteem while others have such a high self-esteem?
I think, you know, you can't blame everything on the parents. I don't know if I told you over the holidays now, I was listening to an audiobook called The Child Whisperer, and there they're talking mm-hmm. about four types, that a child is born with a type, an energy profile type, and this is how they will relate to the world. And already as I listened, I picked out my kids, but then I struggled for myself mm-hmm. because there's a little bit of me. So each of them possess their main type is part of my type.
So
I don't want to take the blame for all the bad stuff. I'll take all the credit for the good stuff that I gave them. But, you know, it's already, you can see this is just as a child that sleeps. So they adapt to the world, they're easy, they're friendly, you know, they're this particular type. So for them, confidence will come easier, you know. It's like chill, relax, you know, nothing stresses me out. You get the anxious child, you know, the second type, which is the emotional. So my youngest, when I said to him, Yusuf, you type 2, he got very upset.
Mm.
He says, Mommy, you can't give me names. I don't want labels.
I don't want.
And then I told him today, you know, Nelson Mandela was type 2. Mother Teresa. So uh-huh. emotional people heal the world. Mm-hmm. They make a difference. That's who you are. He says, okay, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, reframing. But through a context of that, this is how your child interprets the world. How are they going to go out and receive? Here's where the self-esteem comes in. Receive the input from others.
And sometimes in receiving that input, and if it's an something negative that was given to them, they sort of sometimes box themselves into that
yes.
you know, label, like you say.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are the lifelong repercussions of consistently getting negative messages?
You know, the people with low self-esteem, they've got a raw end of the deal, because there's so many aspects of your life shaped by esteem, taking chances. Am I worthy of love? So number one, relationships. Maybe
mm-hmm.
choosing abusive partners, because I'm not worthy of a good partner. I'm worthy. So you can see in families where you'll have a repetition of poor choices. And I'd like to, I know my husband's not listening, but I want to acknowledge him in terms of, I always say my dad was an amazing father. He was a not so good husband all the time, because I think of my mother all a complaining. But I would think that because of that shaping and that model, the choice that I made in a husband
mm-hmm.
was an upgraded version in a way. Mm-hmm. So I've got both parts quite well. And I think that this is where we need to understand that self-esteem makes you choose a partner worthy of you. I mm-hmm. am worthy of a good partner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have value.
Wow.
So I choose someone who brings value to my life. Whereas people with low self-esteem are going to think, I don't deserve, I deserve a wife beater. I deserve a man who doesn't want to go work. I deserve, you know. You don't deserve those things. No one deserves that.
And it's not that they're physically telling themselves this. It's that inherent sort of all the negative messages that have been given to themselves, it's, or been getting all of those throughout their life.
And it's in an article I was reading last night. It's encoded in your cellular memory.
Oh.
So even if you're not conscious of it, it's there. It's part of who you are. And to think that, you know, and the simple thing, like, you will never be smart as this one. You'll never be pretty as this one. You'll never be, so as a child, you're growing up with these messages, Roshan, constantly being told you don't have value. You don't have value, you know. And you internalizing it, it becomes your inner voice. And there's the downside of low self-esteem. Your inner critic becomes mm-hmm. your only voice. So there's constant criticism of every action. You replay. You've actually had a win today, but you're still criticizing yourself.
Could have been better.
Yes.
It could have been, yeah.
You know, and that is where the, you, so you actually, because as a result of that, you're not present in the moment. Mm-hmm. You are within yourself going on about a past moment. And that's where you lose your consciousness and your mindfulness. And in relationships and parenting, it's the worst way to be, not to be present in the moment. So you have to do something about your inner critic.
If we have that kind of thinking or belief of ourself in this low self-esteem, is it possible that we draw that sort of negative energy all around us?
We do.
Or is it that we, because of thinking in that low self-esteem sort of way, that we will see everything negatively?
Yeah. Well, there's a link between thoughts, right? Feelings, behavior, that triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously if I'm thinking, right, I'm feeling and I'm behaving. So there will be a whole cause and reactional circle constantly around mm-hmm. me. So you actually creating the negativity. I'm not saying you must wake up and like, this day is awesome. That's not who you are. You mm-hmm. know, when I open my eyes in the morning, and I spent the whole of 2016 doing that, that every morning is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up, I'm so happy to be alive. That sounds so corny. I know when I'm saying it out loud. But I can't explain to you, Roshan, the amazingness if you've lost significant people in your life. You know, both my parents have passed on at young ages. So you know the gift of every day. And now when I say it the second time, mm-hmm. it still sounds corny. But I don't know how else to explain it to you. That and if you have
but
illnesses.
It is, yes.
And most of us, because of our lifestyles, have illnesses. Diabetes is rife in our community. High blood pressure. You know, we have all these, and I've got those illnesses. So when I wake up, I'm like, yes, Allah gave me another day. Awesome. What am I going to do today? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And my kids always ask, Mommy, why is she excited in the morning? It's toned down. Tone down the energy. You know, we're still waking up, and I'm like, this day. And every morning when I was on holiday, I was up way before my kids, and I sat outside and listened to the birds and just smelt wet grass and, you know, all those.
Well,
those
you remind
things.
Me of the hadith by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is to value five things before five. And one of those is your youth before old age. Another is your health before sickness. And that is exactly it. Waking up and realizing that every day is a gift. If you have your health, that's a gift. If you have your wealth, that's a gift before, you know, poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And things can get taken away just like that.
Yeah.
But again, it boils down to how you deal with all of those issues and what... And at what level your esteem is, and what you think of yourself is as well. You are listening to Cover Mode. I'm chatting to Shanaz Morris, and we're chatting about self-esteem. A very valuable subject to start our January or our Cover Mode for January 2016. And, you know, self-confidence means being aware of what Allah has given you of good characteristics mm-hmm. and striving accordingly to attain that which will benefit you. If you misuse it, you will be filled with arrogance and self-admiration. And I think I asked, is there, you know, well, I'll probably ask you if this is a problem of having too much confidence. And then, which are two, you know, destructive problems if you have arrogance and self-admiration. If you deny those blessings that have been given to you and the good characteristics that Allah has blessed you with, you will become lazy and apathetic. You will let yourself down and lose the blessings that Allah has given you. And Allah says, indeed, he succeeds who purifies his own self. And indeed, he fails who corrupts his own self, corrupts his own self. So is overconfidence a problem? I'm like, self-confidence, we know you need to build the confidence, but you know, you do get people who just think so much of themselves.
Yeah, that's a bit of a, I think that that is a problem. My husband and I were having our brunch before I got here, and we spoke about the generation. I'd watched a video, somebody tagged me in, and they're talking about millennials, the generation now that's in adulthood, that's in the corporate world, and this whole view of entitlement and instant gratification and lacking social skills because everything is social media, and that's how I communicate. And we were saying that you actually know when people, and we have all generation actually, because of all this excessive praise and doting parents had, they are quite overconfident in this, because he's in a position where he interviews lots of young people at their firm, so they want to know when can they be in management, and they just graduated. Can I afford this car if I start on the salary, like those kinds of questions. And we're talking about you need to be humble and be excited to be getting a job, to learn and work your way up, you know, like old school.
Yes.
So there's some things I always say of old school and the previous generation that is so valuable that we've
instant
chucked out of the window.
Yes.
We've chucked out of the window because it just takes too long. It's too much work. So the overconfident person feels that they're entitled, that they're just better than everyone else. So a lot of people are raising their kids with overconfidence, not a good, healthy self-esteem. Because a self-esteem child will know, I don't need to be better than anyone else. I am my own measure against myself. If I was better than yesterday or my last report, then I've done a good job. Not, I didn't come first. I didn't get all sevens or whatever. If you measure yourself against somebody else, there's always somebody better.
Yes.
If you academically and success-wise, career-wise, finances. So often you'll find people as they move up the corporate ladder, they move house. And they move closer and closer to Table Mountain because that's where the esteem lies, the accolade. And my husband's view is always, we're right by the mosque, we're close to the school, we're not going anywhere. You know, we can walk to the masjid. You know, it's always about grounding yourself and grounding yourself in your community. If we are Muslim and that's our identity.
I've always also lived with, you know, never seeing yourself above someone else or less than someone else. We're always somewhere in
the
between,
balance.
You know, somewhere in the middle. And with that, it allows you the ability to always learn from someone and always teach the next person as well. So you always have that balance in your life. And before we continue, we're going to take a short break and we're going to talk more to Shanaz Mus about this interesting subject of self-esteem.
Styled as a graceful woman on her throne, empowering lives to be filled with pride, hope, love, beauty, nourishment, soul, and faith. This is Cover Mode.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We are chatting to Shanaz Mus, a registered psychological counselor, and just as I mentioned before, Shanaz specializes in counseling and workshops for adults and children that focus on building emotional intelligence and EQ. And today we're chatting about self-esteem. Just before we took a break, we spoke about, is overconfidence a problem too? But then, you know, we know what low self-esteem is. We know what the having too much confidence is as well. So what's a good level of self-esteem?
Sure. I don't think there's actually, somebody was saying that self-acceptance, self-compassion, and self-love, when you have enough of those, you have the good balance. And I think that I've recently been using an assessment tool in my practice to help women measure their self-compassion.
Oh.
Because I found that how do I know if I'm too hard on myself? I don't actually know. I'm just using my perception. And I found when I came across this tool, I realized, okay, we need to actually quantify. Some people are numbers people. They don't like wishy-washy feeling stuff. So when you give them numbers, oh, I can relate. Oh, I do need to work on that. So I do have those clients who relate to numbers and logic. So they want to see it in a number form. Okay. And I do believe that I do have this problem. But when I picked it up through your life choices and how you feel about yourself and your relationship with your children, it's the sign of poor self-esteem when you're lacking self-compassion. So you have this innate compassion for everyone. When your friend messes up and the recipe doesn't come right, oh, it's your first time, and it'll come right again. Don't worry. This is the message you give her. You're making something, and you're like, for 2 days, you are knocking yourself. Oh, my word, why couldn't I have seen cake flour? I put some, you know, so you don't give yourself the same compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even realize it until someone points it out to you.
That's so true. It sounds like something I did with, like, I thought cooking was just not my thing. I cannot cook until I, when I resigned from my corporate job, and I had to now start cooking mm-hmm. for the family every single day, and I'm like, I'm not getting this right. I always thought that the smell and the, you know, the color must come right. Mm-hmm. So I used to throw more and more ingredients
to
get it right, and the taste was just either too salty or too this. And then I think with practice, it sort of improved. But what really helped was the confidence that you can do this. And then just cooking because I enjoyed it and because I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's that, you know, cooking with love absolutely
tastes
works.
Better.
It's amazing.
It tastes
I mean, I would not have believed it until, because I know when I cook with love, my family, you know, gives me good feedback afterwards. And it's really about just trying and trying again and not giving up when you fail the first time.
Yeah.
It's saying, I can do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to get it right.
And that's definitely with self-esteem and a healthy self-esteem is that, yes, a mistake. It's not the end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
How can I improve? Maybe I should follow the recipe next time. And every year, challenging yourself, like I've seen some of the ladies are doing cooking classes,
Yes.
thinking, oh, no, I need to
I
go.
I do a call a mom.
I remember phoning on my honeymoon, asking my mother, because I couldn't cook. Mommy, how do you? She sent me all the spices in little packets and chicken, because chicken curry was now my husband's favorite, I heard. I didn't know what I was doing, and I phoned her from public phone, no cell phones.
Oh,
I am married
word.
20 years, and asking in the rain out of Pine Lake Marina on the phone, Mommy, how do you make this? And writing down on a piece of paper, my word, that I still have today.
Sure.
So I wrote down 4 steps, and she told me, this is how you make all curry.
And based, it's easy.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
she
gosh.
Said, this
yes.
is what you do, and I still have that page. And for me, it was about that. She didn't tell me, why did you wait so long to learn? Now you're going to mess it up. She gave me this ability, like, you can't go wrong. You know, everything's been measured for you. Just put it in and lo and
just
behold.
Follow the recipe.
And I couldn't even cut an onion, Roshana.
Okay, I'm
really
so glad
bad.
I'm not the only person.
No, so I think that when you want to grow an ability, it's mm-hmm. it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I choose something that I didn't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
So 2017's goal was to learn how to swim. Choose I'm now don't know how to swim.
You will swim
so
by
2016's
the end of the year.
Goal I could have ticked mm-hmm. off. So every year I say to myself, it's no one else's responsibility to grow my skills but me.
Mm-hmm.
So choose something that's attainable, that's also in a time frame and a cost frame, if my money is involved, that's also doable. And that's where self-esteem comes in. I'm nurturing myself. Nurturing yourself and growing yourself is how you maintain the healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you don't, if you're waiting for others to say, here's a cooking voucher class, here's a whole year of massages, Shanaz, you go off and it doesn't happen like that.
No.
And I hinted a bit, but on holiday, my husband said, oh, you got a 4 o'clock appointment at the spa at the place you were at. And I'm like, oh, yes, I need that. And I just enjoyed the time out, but you also feel honored when you nurture yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more touching when somebody else makes the effort for you. Okay, I hinted a lot. But it's still people don't always take your hints into account.
No,
they just ignore you.
You have to, like, write it down.
You
tell
know?
Them.
So just that's one of the keys to keeping the self-esteem in a good place, that honoring and nurturing yourself.
Perfect. To chat to us in the studio, the number is 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp on 072-238-0712. And we do have some WhatsApp messages that have come through, Shanaz. I'm just going to go through them.
Okay.
Salam, guys. Great program. Long overdue. Very true. This is what our children lack. That's why SA and the world is the way it is. And another one, PS, make sure there's a part 2. And yes, I already chatted to Shanaz about about this before we started the program. So you can expect more of this kind of discussion on Cover Mode, because we believe in the holistic you. And another message, people put me down, put me so down because I have a disability, but I didn't care because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me love and ability, mashallah. And another message, yeah, alhamdulillah, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I'm so grateful to Him. He's cleansing our souls. Your best is good enough, alhamdulillah. That's another message that has come through. Oh gosh, we've got a few more, but before we go into those, let's just also, I think we chatted now about, you know, what's the good level of self-esteem, and you've given us some amazing tips. The question now is as well, can we change what we think and feel about ourselves after getting all of, you know, what we... the messages from our childhood, or, you know, it looks like everything stems from childhood.
Yeah, it's a lot of the childhood and then reinforcing the people you choose to surround yourself with. And I'm the type of person as a counselor and parent that says to other parents, you know what, this child's being bullied by the teacher. I think you need to take him or her out of the teacher's class.
Before you continue there, let's break and continue the response that Shinaz is about to give us.
Styled as a graceful woman on her throne, empowering lives to be filled with pride, hope, love, beauty, nourishment, soul, and faith. This is Cover Mode.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Cover Mode. An amazing amount of WhatsApp messages have come through. I know a lot of people are shy to talk about the topic of self-esteem, and a lot of us suffer from, you know, that internalized effect of what you know, we've been given throughout our lives. And one of the WhatsApp messages that have also come through, assalamu alaikum, I cry a lot and literally for everything. I always make other people's problems mine. Is something wrong with me? And that ties in very well, I think, with the question I just gave you. Can we change what we think and feel about ourselves?
Yeah, definitely, Roshan. I think that once you've realized that there's something missing, if this woman is saying I cry a lot, so obviously that's not the norm. And depression is linked to low self-esteem as well, because you overvalue the approval of others. Mm-hmm. You overvalue the input and the acceptance of others.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm busy reading Yasmin Mujahid's book. Finally, I picked it up again. I've had it a few months. And when she's talking about the need for other people and the need, and only needing Allah is the start of that. And I think that when you are on this point of self-discovery and you are connecting with yourself, there's only one place to go, and that's up. Mm-hmm. That connection to yourself ties very strongly with your connection with Allah. You cannot connect with yourself without that. And I think people are often looking for it outward, without looking inward, up. And when you, and Allah isn't like a parent scolding you and, oh, now you want to make salah. Oh, now you want to learn to recite.
Allah, each time you do a
Allah
good
is
deal,
like, welcome.
Allah's like, yes.
Like a total affirmation parent, man. Like, oh my word, alhamdulillah, you did that, you know. You've made your first 5 salahs for the day. I'm so proud of you, you know. Not, why didn't you for the last so many years? Mm. And I think when you have that connection, you feel that. And self-acceptance and self-love is already there with Allah. So you're connecting so that you can get that to yourself. If you're waiting and you're looking for it from other people and even your spouse, it's not. We can change spouses looking for that self-acceptance and that.
We change spouses.
Yeah. Well, I'm 20 years on. No, it's not changing spouses, but it's an inward thing about this connection. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are struggling and they often go therapist to therapist looking for this fix. You tell me what I need to do, what I need to do. And it's not about outward doing. Mm-hmm. It's about inward doing. Mm. And when people aren't ready for that journey, you can't make them make that connection.
Right.
There's no way I can give you something that you yourself are not needing or recognizing at this point in your life, this is what I need. So I think that for us now, we have a whole generation of young people who are more Allah conscious, let's put it like that. And they're growing up at a young age already with this connection. So there we are. I'm feeling positive about. But then on the other hand, there's a whole lot of another generation, in the same generation, that are the selfie generation and the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you've got this huge, you know, sort of war that's going to go on in the next 5 to 10 years, because a selfie generation wants to marry a conscious generation one, and then you grow up, you know. Let's hope the one will positively influence the other. So we are responsible for that journey within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I know people with low self-esteem, they struggle to assert themselves. So for me, never been a problem. In fact, you know, sometimes maybe over-assertive. Mm-hmm. And knowing it now at an older age, trying to rein it in. Because it can border. We talk about the overconfidence, that there must be a healthy balance.
Right. Okay, so we have a few minutes before we close, and I know there's so much more that we can ask and in the chat.
Not done.
But you will be back. We know that. And we, you know, Shanaz, and one of the other callers also asked, you know, is there a way to remedy that? And I think you've touched on a few of those. But another way to also remedy, you offer workshops. Yes. On, you know, developing your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And especially for adults, you've done it with children.
I've
know that.
I've done the children one a few times.
And then also you're going to be hosting for that. Do you know when you're going to be hosting it?
It just came. It was born the moment we had our conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
So okay. It was coming on during my holiday. I've collected a lot of material with not knowing how to use it. And then when you contacted me, I realized, oh, this is meant for a workshop.
I'm guessing that those will be more tools-driven.
It's actual practical. We're talking what I do in workshops, I give you actual skills and homework. So you're going to go home and you're going to learn how to do a certain thing. So your inner critic, how do we change that voice? Mm-hmm. How do we change it to one of love and affirmation? You know, if I can't say no, okay, let's work on that, being assertive. You know, because when people cross boundaries with you and you can't say no, they'll forever take advantage of you. And you'll forever be trampled on, and your self-esteem will never improve. So saying no is not going to cut off relationships. It's going to disconnect you from users and people who exploit you, which is what you need to maintain a good, healthy self-esteem.
But, you know, for those who want to follow up and actually do a self-esteem workshop with Shanaz Moers, you can just keep, a lookout for it on her website, www.happyconfidentme.co.za. And if you'd like to do some spiritual reading, and I think that you've actually mentioned a few of this, and I'm going to ask you for the book that you've also just mentioned as well. If you want to learn more about yourself, go and check out my blog, roshanisaacs.com. And Roshan, that's R-O-S-H-A-N, isaacs.com. I've recommended the book, Cosmology of the Self, by Sheikh Fadlala Lahari. You can read a few of the extracts I've posted there, and you might just like it and find it particularly interesting to learn more about yourself. And that's roshanisaacs.com. Shanaz, did you say you posted...
When you posted about that book, I tied so deeply in with the book that I was reading.
Yes.
So I said, Roshan, you're speaking to me. This
so
book,
we're going to swap books.
Yeah, this book is, okay, I can't swap mine, it's an audio book.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so what is the book called?
The book is called The Child Whisperer. And and as I was reading it by Carol Tuttle, I'm thinking, this should be a workshop. Mm-hmm. I should be doing this because this is quite key information. So everything that I read, I internalize, Roshan. I want to use it in my practice, in my family. Mm-hmm. I've already typed my kids. So I believe in information we take in must be of value. Mm-hmm. And when it's truly valuable, I want to share it with others. So which is why I'm forever on about different books. And Five Love Languages changed my life. And you know I'm always on about Five Love Languages. And I believe that that's where the power is, that these tools are given to us by Allah to be used moving forward in our lives to make things better, not just sit around and whine and, you know, and woe is me attitude and move forward, that you have that power.
So let's move forward. Shanaz, thank you so much for joining me and awakening our self-esteem. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalam.
What you think of yourself is far more important than what others think of you. Think positive, be positive, and positive things will happen. I hope you will soar in whatever it is you wish to achieve and that you are blessed with a good self-esteem. For Cover Mode, I'm Roshan Isaacs. Assalamu alaikum.